Welcome to Landmark Ministries. Thank you for joining us today as we prepare our hearts for yet another in-depth look into the Word of God. We hope this message gives you encouragement and brings you closer to the power of Jesus. We're so glad you're here today. God is calling your name. We've been studying through the Bible book by book, learning more and more about God's love and plan for us. Thanks again for being here. Enjoy today's message.
Today we're exploring the treasures of another faithful response to God's grace, and that's passing down the faith. Speaking of treasures, right back there on our resource table is a little booklet called Table Talk. That booklet is full of insights that will deepen your understanding, your theological understanding of all things theology, but specifically to what we're talking about, building a culture of intergenerational spiritual formation. You should pick one up. There's only a handful, but you should share it. R.C. Sproul taught that God initiates the relationship with humanity through his sovereign grace, which is a free, unmerited favor that overcomes human sinfulness and resistance, and it leads to faith. God's grace leads to faith. Grace bridges the gap between God himself and his creation, in particular, people, us, emphasizing that God seeks them out before they seek him. It's by grace God even reveals himself and guides our steps through his providence. God's grace shines brightest, of course, in salvation. Jesus laying down his life for his friends, paying our debt with his life so that we can respond to God in faith. In light of the fantastic prayer this morning and that news of salvation, isn't that just the best thing to share with our kids? Salvation through Jesus, the gospel. Passing down the faith through generations is a faithful response to God's grace and is his design for intergenerational faith families like ours. None of this is random. It's God's choice. Our faith starts with his grace, which isn't just enough. It's sufficient. God said to Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you." What a powerful word on its face, sufficient. I don't think there's any other word that you could put in that place. Because when you think about that word, sufficient, it's everything. Everything God is sufficient for you in any circumstance this world puts before you, trial that you face, even the violence and sinful condition of the world that we live in today. It has power and delivers results. God's grace has power to build generations like he did with the 12 tribes of Israel. His covenants wrapped everyone up in intergenerational communal families. Men, women, kids, elders, babies, even unborn generations. Communal family is where spiritual formation is born. And it's God's choice that we be about sharing that. That we be about passing down our faith. That we be about teaching and telling stories. Traditions that we be about relationships. So every generation, from youngest to the oldest, grow together in Christ. So let's see how God's plan for faith ripples through families and nations. God's promise to Abraham was born from his faith. A promise of descendants as numerous as the stars. That's really hard to imagine on its face. Descendants as numerous as the stars. And if you could just use your imagination for a second and think of all the generations of people that have existed, it might look like the stars in the heavens. By God's grace, these descendants became the 12 tribes. In response to God's grace, they were faithful to tell and retell the stories of God's work and his mighty acts. These shared stories of God and their ancestors' faith rippled from family to family through generations and eventually wove together the faith of a whole nation. In the Bible, we've seen some powerful family stories of faith passed down. Like Hannah, who dedicated her long-awaited son, Samuel, to God. Her faith had an intergenerational ripple effect that was passed down through Samuel's mentorship with Eli. More intergenerational ripple effects were Moses and his father-in-law, Jethro, Elijah and Elisha, David and Saul, Ruth and Naomi. Young Josiah was only 8 years old when he, by God's grace, led Israel as a faithful king. In 2 Chronicles 34, verse 3, it says, he began faithfully to seek the God of his father David. All these Old Testament stories show how passing down the faith shapes families and impacts nations for God's glory. In them, we witness how faith provokes obedience that impacts future generations. Their traditions and practices of passing down faith flow into New Testament generations. The author of Hebrews dedicated a whole chapter to these Old Testament examples for their generations to follow. And Jesus exemplified them perfectly. We'll make those connections in part two of this InterGen series coming up early next year. Modeling and passing down faith is a vital part of our own inheritance, spiritually speaking. Paul encourages Timothy, who is experiencing opposition to such practices. He says to him, you then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Share in the suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. It is the hard-working farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Mentoring faith is the act of sharing and historical legacy of belief and historical love for God and historical obedience to his word. Think over what I say. The Lord will give you understanding in everything. It's about creating a spiritual environment where next generations are more likely to receive and respond to God's grace in faith, believing in the Son, creating this intergenerational spiritual environment ensures the continuity of the covenant family and the ongoing witness of God's work in a world that opposes this with all of its heart, all of its soul, all of its mind, and all of its strength. I'm going to repeat that fire for effect here. Creating intergenerational spiritual environments ensures the continuity of the covenant family and the ongoing witness of God's work in a world that opposes this with all of its heart, all of its soul, all of its might, and all of its strength. Have we not discovered this in our revelational studies? By leaping into the past, we can see the future. Okay. You know how sometimes when you read scripture, passage from the Bible, you just develop a kinship to it? Studying through the scriptures for this series, Psalm 71 was one of those for me. And I suppose it was one of those for me because it strikes the age stage that I've broken the plane of. The writer of the psalm is unknown, but many believe it to be King David, late in his life. But the psalmist starts by saying he's always found safety and hope in God ever since he was a young boy. He says, "In you, O Lord, do I take refuge. You are my hope, my trust, O Lord, from my youth." The psalm is a beautiful word picture of a life lived with God, with him at the center of it. But the years have passed, and he's gotten older, and he gets really personal with God, and he prays, "Do not cast me off in the time of my old age. Forsake me not when I'm old and when I'm tired, when my strength is spent." He's pleading with God, "Stick with me. Stick with me." I remember a couple of weeks ago when I quoted David Mathis. "It makes me happier for you to have my time, my energy, my attention, my initiative, than for me to keep these things to myself." I believe this is the heart of the psalmist and should be ours as the psalmist continues, "Even to old age and gray hairs, O God, do not forsake me until I proclaim your might to another generation. Your power to all those to come." Until he passes the faith down to one more generation. Passing down connects us all as God's family, young and old. It's the kind of continuity we see in the Old Testament Israel. It's the kind of continuity we see in the early church. It's the continuity of an intergenerational family of God where everyone plays a role. And the roles, they're played down and up and side to side. The roles are played down and up and side to side, where older and younger people can learn from each other and breathe new life into our church, generations and generations to come. It's not just a great plan, it's a biblical model. It's what will keep our family strong. Hopefully, it's what will raise up the next generation of pastors and leaders here in this church. Psalm 71 ends with a faithful response to God's grace. He says, "And my tongue will talk of your righteous help all the day long." The faith of this psalmist ripples even down to me as a reminder that no matter what I face in my aging years, my hope is in God. And my desire should be to proclaim that hope together across generations. Can we all say that we have that same diligence? Heck, can I say that I have that same diligence standing here right before you right now? I hope I do. I hope I do. Stubbornness even. To do it. To keep doing it. Talk of God's righteous help all day long, even into our older age. You see that picture up there, don't you? That's you, Miss Alice, passing down your faith to Leland and Esther. Talking about God's righteous help all day long. We've talked about God's design for intergenerational faith. Let's see how God's power in intergenerational relationships delivers results. One of our referenced books for this series is called Faith for Exiles, Five Ways for a New Generation to Follow Jesus in Digital Babylon. In this book by Matlock and Kinneman, Barna Research Group studied young adults ages 18 to 29 who grew up faithfully going to church. They found out what made their faith last. And I suppose this is going to be a little bit bittersweet to you because it was to me. Their studies show only about 10 to 20% of churches foster intergenerational ties. Only about 10 to 20% of all churches foster intergenerational relationships. Because of this, they discovered that 70 to 75% of the youth bail from church after high school. That's the bitter. They found that only a small group, 10% of those young adults, 18 to 29, whom they call resilient disciples, are still truly connected to their faith and their church. And guess what the biggest reason for their endurance and strong faith through their teen and adult years was? That's not rhetorical. I want you to guess. Anybody have a guess? The parents? Who? Grandparents? Anyone else? Learning about God. Who said what? Surrounded by the church, all great answers. And what do all those answers have in common? Meaningful intergenerational relationships. That's what they found out of that 10%. The research showed that nearly all of these resilient disciples had close relationships with non-family adults in their church and family adults in their church while growing up. On the other hand, the numbers for young adults who drifted away from church were much less relationally connected intergenerationally. The research showed that it's important to see people come to know Jesus and then faithfully abide in Jesus their whole lives through intergenerational relationships. Is that important to you? Is it important to you to see people come to Jesus and then abide with Jesus their whole lives? Based on their research, Kinneman and Matlock argued that biblical intergenerational relationships must be a top priority for reaching and keeping our youth in faith throughout young adulthood. But I contend that that's not easy. Is it? It's not easy. It's not easy in our digital Babylon, in the style of the culture that thrives on dividing us. We face challenges and we face opposition. And we have our work cut out for us. Statistically, here are just a few challenges that we face. Research from the organizations like Barna and faith communities these days show that the average age of religious leaders has been increasing for decades. For example, the average clergy age rose from 50 in 2000 to 57 in 2020. This aging trend is leading to concerns about succession crises across many denominations. As a large number of older pastors are approaching retirement with fewer younger leaders preparing to take their place. A lot of people today think that their spiritual life is a private thing, something that they can and should do on their own. Empire is all about this division, isolation. But the Bible shows us that faith is meant to be lived out in community. Different generations have a lot of preconceived notions about each other. Younger people often feel older generations don't listen to them and delegitimize them. And while older people can sometimes feel dismissed and outdated, irrelevant by the younger. These are facts that we have to face and consider when isolation and mistrust are the norms. Kinnaman and Matlock say, forge meaningful intergenerational relationships. The idea is reciprocal discipleship. It's not just about older people teaching younger ones. It's about a two-way street of learning and growing together. Forging a culture where everyone is both mentor and learner is the goal, is our goal. A key part of this is engaging with new ideas, having practical and we got to bridge the gap between generations. We just have to. We just have to. Sorry, I just got a little powerful right there and had some thoughts that I think I should just move on from. The goal is to create an environment where everyone learns from each other. Having meaningful conversations, bridging the gap between generations. We've talked about God's design for intergenerational faith and the power of intergenerational relationships. So let's get down to discuss some best practices for passing down our faith. Kinnaman and Matlock in Faith for Exiles puts it perfectly. They quote, we'd better be ready to admit that we need the next generation of exiles just as much as we hope they sense the need for us. Do you need to hear that again? I need to hear that again. We'd better be ready to admit that we need the next generation of exiles just as much as we hope they sense the need for us. And they go to give five practices for building an intergenerational culture of following Jesus. Experience intimacy with Jesus in a society where identity is often tied to self-curation and personal branding, TikTok, all the other social media outlets. Resilient disciples find their core identity in a deep personal relationship with Jesus. This means moving beyond a surface level understanding and sometimes religious clutter that we can get in the way and find joy and connection with Christ through intergenerational relationships. Develop muscles of cultural discernment. Younger generations spend far more time on media and screens than on church activities. This practice involves learning how to critically engage with culture. So we're not saying that the devices are bad. We're not saying that screen time is bad. But what I am saying is that it involves learning how to critically engage with that culture and also filtering out the barrage of narratives and messages that that culture brings in and asks you to absorb. Allowing the Christian story to remain the prominent story. Forge meaningful intergenerational relationships. Many young people feel isolated and mistrustful of institutions and authority. Resilient disciples cultivate deep family-like relationships with older believers who can serve as honest mentors and guides. Tim talked about that in his first two, wisdom. Using wisdom, letting biblical wisdom guide you through, how did you say, the messiness of this world? The messiness of life. Train for vocational discipleship. Rather than compartmentalizing faith, this practice encourages young people to actually, all people, to live out their discipleship in all areas of life, including ambitions, goals, careers. It grounds their motivation and purpose by integrating their friendships, school, work, life's calling to their faith. Encourage and engage countercultural mission in a culture that often promotes entitlement and self-centeredness. Those are digital Babylon terms, by the way, you know, in the book Digital Babylon. That's kind of what we're up against. A culture that often promotes entitlement and self-centeredness. Resilient disciples are characterized by a selfless countercultural approach to mission. And make no mistake, this is our mission, creating this intergenerational spiritual environment that fosters spiritual formation. This practice encourages them to look outward and to serve others in the ways of Jesus. Building intergenerational relationships, I wrote down, may stretch us, but it's going to stretch us. It stretches me just thinking about it. Building intergenerational relationships is going to stretch us, but it's a stretch worth making. I think so. Do you? Yeah, I'm glad. Because it's going to strengthen our family here at Landmark. And it's going to strengthen other families. It's going to ripple out and affect neighborhood churches. Because this culture, this attitude, this mindset is not going to be contained right here. It's going to get out into your neighborhood. It's going to get out to your school friends. because it has power. We're like a garden where faith grows. By sharing stories, wisdom, and experiences across ages, we nurture a vibrant faith that shapes our church family into this epic family tree for generations and generations. You know, one of the many things that I've noticed here in 25 years or so is that the next generation pays attention. If you don't believe that, Leland, I'm going to use you as an example. I didn't prearrange this, but I hope you don't mind. Leland was, what, 5, 6 years, maybe even younger than that. And I can remember listening to sermon, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, Leland says some kind of relevant comment to the sermon. Or a question in the sermon. And Leland, just out of the blue, answers the question. They pay attention. Our kids pay attention. Braxton can't sit at a family meal without grabbing hands and saying, amen, amen. And that's his practice, because he sees that kind of practice being mentored to him, and he's reaching out at the family table saying, we have to pray. We have to say amen. Our kids pay attention. So let me ask you this. You don't have to be a great theologian like R.C. Sproul to figure this out. What if we skipped all this? Or even continue to not prioritize it as highly as we are now. What if we join together and embrace it? With all of our minds and all of our hearts and all of our strength, fueled by grace and God's righteous help. Can you imagine what that would look like? Wow. Wow. We've spent the last several weeks exploring the Old Testament gatherings in critical moments, feasts, Old Testament examples of passing down the faith. I've personally found them truly meaningful. I hope they've been just as meaningful for you. I look around and I see several families here who were kids themselves, and now they've got their own young families. Think about the importance of the intergenerational relationships right here and right there in your own journey of spiritual formation. For all of us, in light of everything we've heard, how might your faith be inspired? And how might you inspire intergenerationally? Our intergenerational efforts will shape not just who we are today, but who we are tomorrow. You know, we've heard at the closing for a long time now about taking next steps together. And I think a lot of us have really heard this as more of an option. But taking our next steps together is a faithful response to God's grace. We need to take them together. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father and gracious God, I love that you've laid this topic of intergenerational spiritual formation on our hearts over the last several weeks. It means a lot to us that you will cultivate this environment of spiritual formation across all of our generations, because as one of the most precious things to you is one of the most precious things to us, the next generation and the next generation. And out of those generations, all whom you are seeking to give to your Son and whom he will receive. Father, I pray that our efforts would be in line with yours, and that we would proclaim your righteous help until our last days. In Jesus' name, amen.